Wrestling, the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moa Jaswal.
Here with Moa Jaswal. How are you doing, Moa? You feeling good?
Pretty good today. Doing really well. Yeah, how are you doing?
Shitty. Shitty as a piece of shit.
Well, that's fine. I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm doing good now because I'm here. We're here talking about AEW, and this was a good night. This was a fun night. I actually think this was one of the best AEWs that I've seen in a while. Fair?
Yeah.
For sure.
Sorry. This is distracted listening.
This is the woos and whats. Moe's doing double time right now. He's doing hosting duties. He's doing tech duties. So we're going to forgive him and forgive me for talking too much because I'm going to do a lot of that today, Moe.
No, that's good. No, we need that. We need to keep this thing going.
We're going to keep the gravy train moving.
Yeah.
But this is the woos and whats. Woos are woos, the good stuff, and whats are whats, the bad stuff. That's the general premise of the show. Which is, instead of a best and worst, it's our little flair. It's us having a little fun, being a little zesty with it. But we're going to start off with the woos, the best stuff of the night. And I know I already know that we're going to disagree on what the best thing of the night was. But I'm just going to start it off. The big woo of the evening for me was the opening match. Kenny Omega versus Matt Sydal. And this beautiful classic. I thought it was just... a perfect storytelling, the way that Kenny was working over the arm throughout, and I just love seeing a body part worked over, and Kenny is so innovative with what he does. How did you feel about that opening match, Moet?
I thought it was great, and just to say off the top, I thought this was an excellent episode overall. Yeah. It just was a great TV episode for wrestling.
It was excellently produced.
Every match made sense to be seen on TV. Nothing, you know, everything was just like a fun exhibition. And, this one too, like, I thought that their two styles like complemented each other really well, really good selling for both. And I really like that they actually had like a little story for it over that they built over the last, 2 weeks or so.
Apparently, Dark Revelation.
Evolution. Elevation? I
don't know. They don't. It's a terrible name. Can we agree that Dark Elevation? Instead of just having a different name entirely, they put Dark and that, like, you already have a Dark.
Right.
Are you saying this is lesser then?
Well, I think it's saying
lesser
it's
than the B?
I think it's saying it's the same concept of just, like, people, you know, more sideshow wrestling, you know, like.
But couldn't they have just
indie
called
people
it?
Coming in?
Wouldn't it have been cool if they called it AEW Light or AEW, I don't know, Brooding. I don't know, something.
Brooding. Yeah, I like Brooding. AEW Brooding. Yeah, it'd be
that's
Darby
like a,
Allin's show.
That's an ECW pay-per-view.
And it'd be written in barbed wire.
Brooding. We both can agree that this was a fun opener. Kenny Omega, Matt Sydal. This is the perfect opponent for Kenny Omega to really shine because... Matt does a lot of the work. Not saying Kenny wasn't, but Matt does a lot of the work and allows Kenny to be really creative. He seemed loosened up in this. He seemed real loosened up. I thought it was a real positive moment.
Yeah, and it's a match that you won't see that often unless they really push Matt Sydal, which probably isn't going to happen. I mean, he's great, but I don't see him wanting that either. Like, he seems like really content as a performer and character, just like where he is, you know? And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. No,
I'm
okay
with
that.
Did I say something?
No, I agree. It's just funny because, like, you know, the people that are always like, if you don't want to be the champion, you shouldn't be a wrestler, you know? And it just feels like Matt Sydal's just so chill with whatever.
Like, oh, I got you. I like Journeymen. They exist, you know?
Yeah, people but they should like all want to be the top. You can't see Matt Sydal as the top?
Well, I don't know. I think they could push it. They can make it happen. I just don't know if that's what I don't see it right now. And I don't see any storylines being built for that because he's got his brother. I don't know. But the point is, I don't see how he would be in a matchup with the world champ Kenny Omega in any other scenario, like other than just sort of exhibition TV match, you know, and it's great to see it.
Yeah, no, so. That's fair. Well, did you have a top moment of the night? What was your top woo of the night?
The top was actually his promo, Kenny Omega's promo later on in the episode. Yeah.
Interesting. The one after the whatever match?
Yeah, Young Bucks Cutler versus Laredo Kid and the Lucha Brothers. Yeah.
Lucha Brothers. Yes, exactly. I have the match in the what's, but that promo, he did do a good job. And I actually am really interested. He made me interested in the Young Bucks with that promo, with Kenny Omega just saying, what was it that he didn't choose AEW, he chose the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that's painful to think about. Heavy. That's real heavy. The way he pulled it off too. Yeah, I mean, it was a little hokey the way, I don't know, in a Kenny Omega style promo, but where he kind of like over elaborated, but then the moment he got to that, like, I didn't choose AEW, I chose you, and oh, it was really good.
It really was, and especially how he kept burying Brandon Cutler.
Yeah.
He just rips him aside. He's just like, you chose Brandon Cutler? Your bag boy? Oh, man.
Yeah, I was, but I mean, I was wondering, like, why he was in that match. It just felt like, you know, he just felt so out of place during the entire match, and I felt bad for him. I felt like he just couldn't, like, hang with these guys, which I don't think he can. Nothing against that. They're some of the best wrestlers in the world. And then, you know, what are you going to do if you're Brandon Cutler, you know?
Take the pin. That's what I was gonna text you, just be like, I wonder who's gonna get pinned. Because they were all just radically above poor Brandon Cutler. Sweet Brandon Cutler. But I do like that character, that story. I'm glad that Kenny Omega said this, because I was really being hit hard by how much I hate the Young Bucks and their storylines. At least this gave me some lifeline to be like, oh well, there's some emotion behind it.
Yeah, I think and they're so good together. The Elite in general, when they have storylines against each other, I think they're really good. Mm-hmm. I think they're consistently interesting ever since New Japan. So it's nice to see them kind of interacting and progressing the storyline of the Elite.
Yes, 100%. Excellent, excellent. Moving on, we're going to our next woo of the evening. My next woo of the evening is just in total John Silver. John Silver, I think, did a great job. He did not only the match that he had with Darby. I really liked that match, but also his promo right after, like right before, earlier in the night, when he was talking with the Dark Order all around him, and he's like, "I'm prepared for that. I'm ready for it." He starts doing trust falls, like, you know, so getting out of the way of trust falls.
The coffin drop.
The coffin drop. Everyone's doing coffin drop trust falls, and he was just dodging them. What else did he say? And then the Hangman thing at the end.
Oh, that was the best part. Yeah, that was the best part for me. That promo. I think he said, "Don't worry, those guys will like you no matter what happens." I'm pretty sure something like that. And I just found that really beautiful. I think I'm really loving.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm loving the whole, like, you know, Dark Order are just trying to be friends now instead of a cult. I think it's real positive. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excellent. So Hangman. Hangman does a great job there. I'm just going to move on to that next woo, which is Hangman versus Cesar Bonini.
Yeah.
Did you have that in there? Did you? Have
I did.
That
yeah, yeah. I actually I didn't get to say it, but I kind of put that in the same spot as Kenny versus Matt Sydal, where just like good TV exhibition match. We kind of knew already who was going to win, but that's fine, you know? And it was just about, like, telling a quick story of, like, you know, big man strength versus, like, athleticism, quickness, you know? And I thought that was good. I thought it was really solid, yeah.
And I thought this was, like, a real masterclass for Hangman, because he took someone like Cesar Bonini, who looks great. He looks amazing. Perfect. But the thing is, every match I've seen him in, he's looked out of step. He didn't really understand what his role was supposed to be as a big guy. He always looked goofy. This one, he looked serious. Everything he did looked crisp. Every move made sense. And you could see that Hangman was kind of just guiding him throughout the match. Even though it was 10 minutes long, I thought it was perfect. But the one thing I wanted to tell you about at the end of that match, he started drinking.
Did he?
He brought out some beers, and he's just like, his Hangman beers, and he's drinking his beers. And I'm just like, and I want to talk to you about that, because I think, like, this is going to be the next evolution. Like, it's like, he's going to take a step back. He's going to fall back again. He's going to, like, he's starting to have success again, and he's with the new, the Dark Order, just as friends, you know? And then, he's going to start drinking again after his matches, and then it's going to get bad again. And then he's going to lose something important. And that's when the Dark Order really embraces him. And then he becomes a part of the Dark Order. Mm-hmm. And then he has his triumphant rise. Well, to help him with his drinking problem.
Because I'm wondering where the Young Bucks fall into this, and the rest of the Elite that give a shit about Hangman Page. Because in the last Being the Elite episode, Matt Jackson had a moment where he was feeling kind of left out from everybody or something. Mm-hmm. I can't say exactly why, but he's been feeling like he doesn't know because Don Callis is like, you're not the elite anymore. Like, you're just the Young Bucks. Like, nobody cares about you. Used to be the best, but now look at you, you know? And it was like getting to his head. And then he went to find Hangman, and he's with all of his friends. Cause he realized they made Hangman feel like crap, like last year over the summer. And so where like Hangman was complaining about the exact same thing, that he feels like he's not the best anymore since going to AEW. And so he went to try to find Hangman, and he watched Hangman just like dancing and hanging out with the Dark Order. The Dark Order thing, you know, which I think was a really nice kind of like full circle moment. So I wonder, I'm sure that's going to come together at some point on TV.
That's very interesting. I like that a lot. And I love the idea that the Dark Order's idea of having fun or even hanging out is them just screaming in a circle around each other. like anytime you see them just interacting from afar, they're just like, yeah, yeah, they're chanting something.
But like, Red, I mean, it's silly, but it also looks like a lot of fun.
It looks like a blast.
I watch it and I'm just like, I don't know if I do that. But if I was there and I had like 12 of those dudes screaming to start, you know, chanting and dancing, and I would love that.
It would.
I
just want that. Yeah, it's been like so long. Absolute ball. And if I were to ever go, like if I was ever invited backstage to a Dynamite, because please Tony Khan invite us backstage. But if I was ever invited backstage to a Dynamite, I would want to be watching the Dark Order scenes. Like I would love to be watching their footage. Like that sounds like a blast just to watch them do their thing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for That'd sure, be great. Sure. Yeah. Mo, what's your next woo of the evening? What do you got?
Oh my God, Red. Let's talk about it. The Britt Baker promo.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Mo. Yeah.
So good. Incredible. I mean, I don't know. What's masterful after such an amazing match last week. Mm-hmm. She points out that everyone's talking about her instead of Thunder Rosa, which is true.
Yeah.
And she, you know, it's just so amazing how she was able to take a loss as a character, spin that around into making her the star once again. Everything she said made 100% sense to me. That she's the one everyone's talking about, and how, you know, even though Thunder Rosa won, she doesn't actually work at AEW. Like, you know, Britt Baker is the homegrown star. And I just thought, I don't know. There's so much to cover, but what were your thoughts?
This is her Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match. Stone Cold took the loss, but he came out looking better with a bloody face on a t-shirt. She literally was wearing a t-shirt of her face bloodied, and that was exactly what they did with Austin. Like, this is her moment. Austin was a figure before that. He had his Austin 316 promo. He was getting on the up and up, and that Bret match kind of just launched him. And this is something that I feel like she's already there. And this is just like everyone pays attention to her now. Like this match, everyone's paying attention to her. She talked about Mick Foley, dug him in the dirt. She's like, it took you 20 years to be a hardcore legend. I did it one night.
Oh, and that's so good. Because it's true.
Yeah.
I didn't expect her to get to that level. Anyone, you know, either of them to get that violent last week. So it's really impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, she really dug into her MJF mode, like just like ripping apart personality. Instead of AEW should be DMD. Those are the initials everyone remembers. She's a star. And thank God they realized what we want. And it's Britt Baker getting interviewed by Tony. I don't want to see Sting interviewed by Tony. I want to see Britt Baker because those two have chemistry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the things that we want to see. Excellent choice, Moat. Moat, great job. Great job. Sound off in the comments if you agree with Moat. Moving on. We got another, I would say, another great woo of the night is The Pinnacle versus Top Flight.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset because they cut off most of the match with the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
When they came back from commercial, the match almost immediately ended. But the way they handled themselves after the match and the promo that Dax cut. Yeah. Afterward, holy crow, he did a great job.
I agree. I totally agree. And I actually like the group now. They did a great job with the entrance music and just the with MJF, Tully, and Wardlow, I guess. He's always, you know, but those two like watching the match and kind of managing them. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It gives Shawn Spears something to do. I actually like him a lot more now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with them. I can't wait to see where it goes.
And Wardlow did a thing when they were all on the outside and all of them were about to go jump off. Like, Wardlow stood in their way and that looked good. I like seeing, like, everyone plays a part and Wardlow's the enforcer. Tully's, like, kind of, like, brain trust. MJF's the leader. The FTR, the, you know, the tag team, and the Sean Spears is there.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Spears is definitely there. I'm trying to figure out Sean Spears' role.
I have no idea yet. And that's why I'm glad he was in the match, because it gives me something to latch onto, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, he's got something. He's got new tights, I think. That's exciting.
That's exciting. And I like Sean Spears. I was listening to Jim Cornette, and he's just like, they're wondering why Sean Spears is in this group. He's like, well, someone's got to take the pinfalls.
I mean, it's true. He's like the Brandon Cutler of that group.
It's very
true.
But one thing, Tony Schiavone wearing an earring. Did anyone else notice Tony Schiavone wears earrings?
I saw that. Yeah, he
has
been wearing earrings.
Big, dazzling, sparkly earrings. I had no idea.
Yeah. What do you think? I think he looks good.
I think it's great. No, I just think it's very funny.
It's a little weird. You don't expect it from him. But
it's just like, it just screams Harrison Ford.
What?
Like, it screams midlife crisis.
Harrison Ford is going through the midlife crisis? What do you mean?
He's got earrings. He got earrings when he was, like, 40s.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, that's just a reference.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with them. We support anyone who gets body modification at any stage in their life, right, Moet?
Sure. Of course. Yeah, I want some earrings.
Of course, of course. What's another woo you got, Moet?
That's actually it. But, I mean, just in general, I just thought it was great. I thought they pushed so many storylines tonight. Mm-hmm. Even just in small, like, video packages and things like... Lance Archer, I wrote down. He had a really good, like,
he did great.
Quick video promo. Jade Cargill had a great one. So, yeah, I just thought, I love Scorpio Sky, small, quick, just to get you to, you know, keep you remembering them, that they have something, you know, and I think that's great. So,
Excellent, excellent. And that's all the woos we got. That's all the woos we got. But now we're going to the woods, which are the bad stuff, the not so good stuff, the worst stuff of the night. Let me hit you off with my biggest, what of the night. It's, okay, I'm going to say it's the Team Taz weird little segment where they're like, all my what's are nitpicky. Every single one of my what's are nitpicky. There's nothing egregious with this show. But Brian Cage not saying anything the entire time, and they're just like, Taz gave this promo where he's like, yeah, Cage apologized to everyone. He apologized to Ricky. He apologized to me. And he's like, oh, Hobbs, you're doing good, right? Stocks, you're doing good. Yeah, Cage. Cage. And Cage, instead of saying anything, he's something smart or something like witty or non-committal. He's just like, who better?
There you go. I was so excited when you brought this up just because I wanted to hear your Brian Cage impression.
Hey, listen, Taz. It's me, Brian Cage. We're watching Buster.
Who better? I can't do it.
If you do any voice that doesn't match his, that's my biggest take. I don't know what to make of it. I don't care about this necessarily. I don't think he should be in the group anymore.
I think that's what's happening, yeah.
I'm glad that he's not going to be in the group, but I have no idea what else he would do. I just felt that Ricky Starks and Brian Cage would be better as a tandem than be in that group. But I guess they're keeping Ricky.
I think it works for now. I mean, I don't know. Eventually, I'm sure he'll go too, because he's a star. He's going to be a star. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that promo. I don't know. I put it down my what's. I didn't think it was great either. This is such a strong episode that the things I didn't like, I didn't hate, you know? It was just things I'm like, it wasn't great, you know?
It was just awkward things. Honestly, they were just awkward. What was your biggest what of the night?
The thing I wrote was they did that thing again where they repeat themselves over and over again. And this time it's about family, multiple things about family. We got, Pinnacle talk about, we're not just five dudes. We're a family of dudes. And that's a thing that they said. What else? Kenny Omega, he just name dropped family. So burned itself into my head. Sure. I'm like, right after that segment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, there's two. If you do this is the third one.
The third, it's a trend.
Yeah.
Was there a third?
And I actually don't think there was a third.
There was.
No. Wait, QT. Marshall. QT did. Yeah. Oh, thank God. Okay. I knew I was like,
his
QT
wife's sleeping alone, Moet. His wife's sleeping alone. He said that when he said that in his promo. He's like, my wife's sleeping alone. They cut back to her and she's just like.
You don't need to cut back to her. What is going on?
And I don't think he wants the chant of Cody's friend to start up. I think when he said, oh, you're Cody's friend, like, because they've been dealing with empty houses for so long, they haven't expected a crowd to start chanting something dumb that they say. So now whenever QT Marshall comes out, for the rest of time, they're going to chant Cody's friend.
Cody's friend is such a lame chant.
It's belittling. It's a terrible chant for you to have. It's so funny to say. I can't wait, if I'm ever at an AEW show, to chant Cody's friend at QT. But I would hate to have that happen to me, Moet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a lot for that. But yeah. Anyways, that's all I had to say. I don't know. I thought that promo was fine. Did you like the QT promo?
I didn't.
I was wondering if we need to talk about it. That's what, it, why I just,
the only thing I wrote in there is that his wife's sleeping alone. Yeah. He mentioned meaningless bumps, which I did not like. I'm just like, please let's not talk about wrestling terms, you know? I don't know. I hate that.
Weird one for me because it took me out. It took me out of the moment because I had to be like, is that okay? Why would they mention bumps? What's going on? But I just figured maybe that, like, that's literally wrestling lingo for, you know, getting taking hurt, you fall, know, getting it, you know? Yeah, taking a fall. Like, so, like, I could see it maybe in, like, a wrestling context where, like, because we're supposed to believe it's all real that's happening, you know? So, like, maybe they literally just talk about taking bumps, you know, because they're cool dudes and need nicknames for things.
I hate it. QT, like, he's trying hard and it was a good promo, but I saw his hand shaking and I was just like, oh, that's sweet. Like, he's really nervous. It's very
oh, you
sweet.
Did? Oh.
Yeah. So
I mean, it was big for him. He's finally getting a decent storyline. He's getting something. And yeah, you know, it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all the best to QT. My next what of the evening, Christian giving advice in the back was real awkward. What is it? That guy from Top Flight, the Varsity Blondes, who just like just nodding in agreement to whatever was going on. And then Christian was saying to Top Flight before it even started, he's just like, did the guy from Top Flight, Darius, he's like, oh, how's your brother doing? He's just like, oh yeah, he's getting better. He's getting back for real. He's like, good. I can't wait to meet him. It's just such a weird thing to say.
He's just like the worst guy to run into at a party. Imagine getting cornered by Christian in that party. How are you, Red? You having fun? How's your brother doing?
And then the interviewer comes over and she's like, looks like you guys are having a lot of fun. Like, it was so awkward. It was incredibly awkward. How did you feel about it? Was it fun for you?
No, but it got me thinking, like, I wonder if it's another situation where he just didn't have, like, a written promo out. So, like, it got awkward for me when he ran into Kaz Kazarian afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he knew how to react to it or, like, how to, I don't know. That was just how I interpreted it. It just felt weird. Yeah. And he's supposed to be, like, the smartest mind in the business the way everyone's, you know, bringing him up. And he just, like, kind of stalled. I don't know.
Yeah.
You think he'd be a little bit smarter, don't you think?
I feel like he's used to WWE environment where he's heavily produced, and now they're like, hey, just say anything, whenever you want, however you want, in any way, and we're going to surprise you with stuff. It's very uncomfortable for a performer that's used to a little bit more producing. Mm-hmm. And also, them having a match next week. I don't know how I feel about this being Christian's first match.
I'm okay with it because you could go either way where, like, I guess I thought maybe he was going to hold off for like a month or something until, you know, he faces Omega or something at a pay-per-view. But I just want to see him wrestle. I just want to see what he's capable of, you know, so I think this is good.
I want that, too. I would like him to have a match next week. I would love for him to have a match next week. I just don't want it against Frankie. The reason being is I was hoping the best way to introduce characters, even though everyone knows Christian, best way to introduce characters to a show is to show what they can do and make them look good doing it. He's going to have a back and forth with Kaz that for like 10-15 minutes, and it's going to make them look pretty even, you know? And I just would rather him face Joey Janela real fast or have him face Peter Avalon. Give Peter Avalon that spot. Like, have Peter Avalon literally do that exact same thing. Instead of Frankie, Peter Avalon goes up to him and just like, you are all ugly. You're the ugliest blonde guy that I've ever seen. And he'll say stuff like that and challenge you to a match. That's the match Christian should have coming in. Just someone he could just beat up a little bit, show what he could do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like what they do with Jade now.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm on the fence. I'm not sure. I guess we'll have to just see how that match goes.
I guess we're just going to have to see.
But I see what you mean. Yeah. You want to keep him strong. You don't want...
I just want him to show off a little bit. That's what I want.
For sure.
Like when you come in, show off. And you can't show off against someone that's you respect, because then you're supposed to be equal. You know, you're supposed to have this back and forth, and it's going to be like that. And I just disagree.
I'm excited. I'm just excited to see what he can do. I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen him wrestle. I don't really, other than the Royal Rumble or whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, we're hoping for the best for Christian. Wish you the best. What another what you got? You got another what for me?
Oh, Red. The Arcade Anarchy is next week, I think, is what they said. That was just like a really super lame video, but I didn't, you know. It is what it is. It's just kind of lame. I don't have a lot to say. Matt Hardy is managing the Bunny, which I don't know how to feel about. I like that they're sort of starting to mix like gender storylines a little bit, but I don't know where it's going. I guess I just don't like that he's doing it in general, because it still doesn't make sense to me why he picked them, or why he's got why he's like taking care of them, you know.
I really think that Matt Hardy was poisoned this episode. Like everything he touched in this episode, it really got me angry. I was angry all day, Moet. I've been angry all day.
Yeah,
but
before the show, right? Yeah,
I feel like he ruined the Ty Conte Nyla Rose match by just showing up. Like it was a pretty good match. I wouldn't call it like a great match. I thought Ty did a great job, but Matt really ruined it by just showing up. I don't know, talking.
That's so mean. Just showing up. Oh, man. My worst nightmare for really someone to say that off. To me. Yeah.
Everything about him. And then he comes at the end. He closes out the show by beating up, who'd he beat up? Darby Allin?
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
Why did he go after Darby Allin? He has heat with John Silver. He has heat with the Dark Order. Why is he beating up Darby Allin?
Does he actually have any beef with Darby Allin? I'm just forgetting. I don't know. Remember. It just went right over my head, that whole segment. I'm like, oh, it's just going to end with chaos. That's fine. You know, JR. I was just admiring JR and his whole, like, really? Oh, my God. Pandemonium. I was just like, it's classic.
It was classic. It was classic. Even though Sting, they were trying not to shoot Sting in the ring, trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. If you watch, you could see him in the background just be like, like holding the bat, like I don't know. Like, it was pretty bad. I got one more what for you. It's a small what, the smallest what. But Scorpio Sky, I'm not gonna harp on him yet. I haven't seen enough of this heel character. I'm just gonna harp on his nickname, the Face of the Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The Face of, is that his nickname now? Scorpio Sky,
that's
the
what
Face
he's
of the Revolution.
Putting over, yeah. I think.
What does FTR stand for, Moet?
Fear the Revolution. Ooh.
What is wrong with them? What is wrong with them? Are they doing it on purpose, Moet?
That's so funny. I didn't think of that.
There's FTR, FTW, Fear the Revolution, Fear the Revelation. There's so much.
Oh, Fear the Revelation, not Revolution. Yeah,
but still,
I said Revolution on accident.
But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Moet. Why are they doing this?
Yeah,
they have Dark Evelation, Fear the Revolution, Face of the Revolution.
I was gonna say this one kind of makes sense because he won that Sonic the Hedgehog ring from the Revolution pay per view. So maybe he's trying to just take that pay per view name with him, which is dumb. But
I disagree
at least there's context.
They do when it comes to nicknames. Nicknames and names they are terrible with. They let everyone have anything. They shouldn't have named that match the Face of the Revolution match at all because of the fact of Fear the Revelation. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
Too much, Moet.
They
too
do
much.
It so often. I don't get it. That was good. That was a good catch, Red.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm obsessive compulsive, Moet. I'm obsessive compulsive. And but that's all the do you have any more what's?
No, that's it. That's it.
That's all the woos and what's that we have. This was a good episode. They did a great job today, and we applaud them. But that's the last of this. But we're gonna see you next week. And we're gonna be here on Saturday to talk about the news. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling. Follow us at Loser Lee's Wrestling on Instagram. We have a podcast that you should check out. It's available on all your podcast platforms at Loser Lee's Wrestling. And send us some emails, please, at loserleespod, and we're going to read the emails on the news you can't lose this Saturday. But my name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moet Jaswal.
And that's the end of the show. Moet, if you were a laser beam.
Oh, Jesus.
Aiming towards a planet, which planet would you aim at?
No. Anything but Uranus. I can't think of anything else.
Uranus, let me think.
That's a hokey thing to say. Okay, fine.
We're going
to
blow it up. Laser beam. I don't know.
All right, that's it. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
All right, bye. We'll be right back.